Welcome to It's a Crazy World, where musicians discuss the unique lifestyles of today's artists. If you want to know how to get through the craziness of the world of music as you reach for your dreams, you won't want to miss this episode of It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome, 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 everyone. This is Cynthia McIntosh, success coach to those in the music industry and your producer and host of It's a Crazy World here on Indie 104 every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much for listening. I have a question for you. Have you ever, as an artist, wondered how in the world you were going to make everything work together, how you were going to prioritize and make your family life, your personal life, your career, and everything just fit together? It's not easy. Being an artist is not an 8-to-5 job. It's not something that you can turn on and off. It is a 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And sometimes it really gets difficult to prioritize and make everything work. So, we are here today to let you know that there is hope. It can be done, and we're going to be talking to someone who's doing it. Not only is he a husband and father to two very young children, but he works full-time in the mining industry, mind you, and he is putting together a successful music career. So he has been able to do it all. So we're going to talk to him today about how he does it. How does he keep that vision together? How does he put his support system together? How does he manage to keep his goals and his priorities in line? How does he keep that vision together and alive? How does he not exhaust himself? So you're not going to want to miss this show. I'm sure it will be enlightening, it will be encouraging, and you will get some ideas from him. So we will be back with you and our special guest right after this.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome to the It's a Crazy World show here on Indy 104. This is Cynthia, and I am your host for today, and we are going to be talking to Johnny Bandura from Alberta, Canada. He's a musician and has been performing since 1996, and he's been playing since his early teens. He also works in Alberta, in the Alberta mining industry, and is married and a father of two. So, welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, it's a pleasure. I just want to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about how you got started, what you're doing, and who your influences are.
Okay, well, I'll start in the beginning. I just really kind of got into a lot of the punk music of the 90s and stuff when I was in junior high, and I kind of picked up an old guitar that my dad had kicking around in the basement, and I kind of just started messing around with that, and he kind of gave me a few pointers with it. I mean, he's a classically trained musician since he was a child, so he knows the ins and outs of all that, but he kind of kept our training to a limited amount.
Does run in the family then?
Yeah, I'm kind of a second generation musician, I guess. Like I said, he was actually trained. He took lessons and everything, and learned how to read music and that side of the things. Where I just kind of was more just improvising.
Right. Was he also a professional musician?
Yeah. He plays all types of music with his rock band now.
Oh,
but,
wow.
They kind of have a lot more of a folk rock kind of sound for their style, but he can play anything from classical music to rock and roll type stuff.
So it is in your background. It's nice to have family that understands your lifestyle and is supportive of it. Makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, for sure. When I was growing up, would be doing a lot of rehearsing at the house with his bands, and every so often I'd go on the road with them and stuff, and we'd play shows in around Vancouver and Victoria, BC and stuff like that, and I kind of would just be like the hang around kid, and I would occasionally I'd like work the lights or something for a show where they had limited staff and stuff like that, so I always was in with the live performance scene even before I was playing an instrument and stuff.
Wonderful. So you actually got to see the business aspects of being a musician as well, the work behind the scenes.
Yes, I did. And, he was very organized as well, and he could keep, his business running and, keep a household going and, continue to kind of be like the leader of his band and book the shows. And and I think, I got a lot of that organizational skills definitely from him. He always taught me that, you wear different hats and you have to, maintain all of those characters that you build in your own life. And, that's really where I get that from. And nowadays that's, very similar to what I'm doing. I'm working full time, and I have this band, Return of the Leech, which is kind of a spin-off from my earlier band, is kind of the main focus on all the music that I'm doing now. And, as well as, making time for my family, which is, I try to prioritize as number one, so.
Right. Yeah, well, it sounds like you've learned some good lessons in life from your father, so that you know how to do it, because that is always a really difficult part of being a performing artist, is trying to play the juggling act with family, your personal life, and your business, and your practicing, your career. There's a lot to it, and it's not just a 9-to-5 job for sure.
No, yeah, you got that right. And, on top of all that, I guess I'd have to say, that side of it is crucial to being successful, but I think as well, my mom was supportive, and you need that to go with the organization as well, because if you don't really have that support and that kind of thing, then, you know, you end up, you know, not eating and sleeping and doing everything else. And, you know, I think my mom kind of catered to, you know, that side of the artist, where the artist likes to just, you know, create and, you know, let other things slide.
Right, so absolutely.
It's definitely a blend of both of those lessons I learned in life to actually be able to achieve and do the things I'm doing today. So.
Right. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of artists on this show that find that it's very difficult because they're artists and they love what they do and all they really want to do is play their music. And they really don't want to get involved in the managerial and administrative aspects of being an artist. And it's very difficult. And then when you add family to that mix and you have to, you know, you want to take care of your family as well, but you've got the conflicts between touring and your career and your family and taking care of yourself and getting rest and breaks when you need it, it's really a difficult job. I'm always impressed with people that figure out how to juggle and how to prioritize and actually are successful at it.
Yes, well, it's like you keep saying, you know, it's it comes down to organization. And, you know, I mean, I book shows, like, I mean, I even booked this show with you riding to and from work on the crew bus. I'm like, I'm always doing something. And I think that's the most important part is keeping yourself with those, you know, with those minutes when people are kind of surfing the internet or Facebooking or doing those types of things. If you can switch that to doing something that's a little more, you know, productive and it's actually going to benefit you later, you know, try doing a little bit more of that. And I mean, I like, you know, just doing mindless social media as well, but I think I, you know, I try to keep more space for, you know, booking shows and, you know, getting the studio time prepared. And, you know, I kind of have to make sure all my guys that play in my group are, you know, the schedule is going to meet up for all those things as well. So I'm always having to send emails and stuff in between everybody and make sure that they can make dates and stuff like that.
Right. Well, good for you. I'm really impressed with your professionalism. Really. So how old were you when you realized that you were going to be a performing artist?
I think it, like, it was always something that I just thought I was going to do. And I think maybe that's because my dad had always played guitar in a band, and it was always just in the house, and it was always like right in front of us. So, you know, it always just seems like it was like the natural thing to do. That, you know, I, you know, it was always a birthday gift. I'd always get like a guitar or, you know, something like that. And even my brother and me, we'd be, you know, we'd have like Guns N' Roses playing and, you know, jumping on the beds with no, you know, guitar with no strings. And, you know, we decided then that we wanted to be part of the music industry, but we just didn't really, have anything but the fun side of it.
Right.
And, so I think as early as like even the 80s, when we were just kids growing up, we always wanted to perform and to learn music.
So what's your favorite part of being an artist?
I've done 3 major recordings. And I think the fact that they're still as relevant now as when we've recorded them is very important. And out of everything, you know, it's even long after we're gone, like there's going to be something left behind.
Interesting.
You know, to show who we were and what we were doing at this time. And I think, you know, that's a key part that makes it definitely worthwhile.
So that's what makes it fulfilling.
Is to make something that will live on for, you know, a long period of time, even longer than ourselves.
Wow, that's a really interesting perspective. So that's what makes it fulfilling to you, is that you know that it's going to be relevant long after you're done with the project.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I look at some artists that I think are you know, not as famous in their own time as they are now, you know, like even like you know, Van Gogh wasn't, you know, famous in his own time, and you know, right. Now there's, you know, not a, a show he plays or, you know, puts on at any gallery that wouldn't sell out. And, you know, even like performers like Jimi Hendrix, you know, nowadays, you know, it's, he's just known as, you know, the guitar guy, you know,
right.
If you looked up, you know, guitar in the dictionary, there's a picture of like Hendrix in there. And,
right.
You know, talking with my dad and stuff, who grew up in the 60s and in the late 50s, you know, he wasn't always viewed as such a,
right,
you know,
true, very true.
So yeah, I just think that's another side of it too, you know, is creating something that might change, you know, in 20 years someone else might look at this or, you know, find this album in a college radio station and put it on and be like, wow, I can't believe, you know, no one else caught on to this.
Huh. But, so it'll still mean something.
Yeah.
Well, we have to take a break, but we will be back with Johnny and you right after this.
More It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh is coming right up.
Hello, everyone. This is DJ Daniel. Do you need a little pick-me-up to get you to the end of your workday or to help you get ready for work? Then I invite you to tune in to Independent Corner on Indie 104. I give you 3 hours of the best up-and-coming independent artists and bands from the U.S. around the world, and from your hometown.
Hey there, everyone. This is Marija of Shadows Talk from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Hello, everyone. This is Morgan from Ravensheart in the UK.
Hey, everyone. This is Michaela from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
So tune in to Independent Corner with me, DJ Daniel, every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on Indie 104, iRadio LA.
It's a Crazy World is brought to you by Highway to Success. Have you ever felt unsure about the direction you should take in life? Do you have trouble juggling your music career, your personal life, and your family life? Do you ever feel like you're running into roadblocks that you don't know how to get around? Hi, I'm Rob Ekno, producer, host, and author, and I have great news for you. I'm here to tell you that you're in good company. Most artists feel that way from time to time, and we all need someone to talk to. So, if you're looking for a coach experienced in helping others with their visions and dreams, call Cynthia today at Highway to Success, 866-636-4696. That's Highway to Success, 866-636-4696. Take it from someone who made that call. You'll be glad you did.
The internet. The new landscape continues to grow, but bad behavior in the world of social media hurts more than you think. Young people affected by online bullying and social isolation often get poor grades, have low self-esteem, skip school, and in some cases are depressed, violent, and even commit suicide. Well, Beyond Differences and I Keep Safe are changing that, providing tools like 10 deep breaths to help teens manage both on land and online. Take anger down a notch and take kindness up. Beyond Differences is a peer-led group dedicated to ending social isolation, offering tools to build healthy relationships online. Learn more at beyonddifferences.org and join others in taking the pledge at wearekindonline.com.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome back to the It's a Crazy World show. We are talking to Johnny Bendure from Alberta, Canada today, and he's been sharing with us how he has been able to prioritize and juggle his life with his, he's 36 years old, married, has two kids, works for the Alberta mining industry, and has a music career that he's putting together. So he's one busy person, it sounds like. You don't sit around on a, you're not a couch potato, are you, at all?
No, of course not.
Yeah. So one thing I did want to talk to you about is your vision for the future. What do you see yourself doing? What are you working towards right now? Where do you see yourself, say, in 10 years?
Well, I would hope to see myself, you know, first of all, getting off the couch, but it's so comfortable I might not be able to. But the industry that I work in is a more physically demanding type industry, so doing it until I'm at retirement age might not be, you know, work out. So I'm hoping to turn my my career more into the music industry and out of the mining industry, and it's kind of something that I've been doing, or I've been trying to do, since I got into the mining industry, because you know, funny enough, I started both of those careers kind of at the same time. In the year 2000, I landed a job with a mining company in the Northwest Territories, and that same year I started playing in an underground punk rock band. So since then I've been doing both back and forth, and hopefully I'd like to do a little bit more of the music, and even if that veers away from performing and goes a little more into things like producing and, you know, helping get young artists and stuff started, that would be a definite direction I'd like to take, as well as putting something together in regards to some sort of a music rehearsal hall or something like that, where people can kind of network and come to, as another project that I've been working on for more of a long-term situation. So basically kind of all revolves around that music industry, and hopefully that can take over and I can put that mining career a little bit behind me and start focusing a little bit more on music and all the other sides that I'm not really doing right now. So
right, you know, one thing that I find is really interesting is anytime I meet somebody like you who is really passionate about their music and loves what they do and are really professional about what they do, it just really surprises me that every one of them will tell me that one of their goals is to help young and upcoming artists and to support them and help them to be successful. I just find that really interesting. I can almost count on it. Every time I talk to somebody that's really very professional about what they do, part of what they want to do is pass that on to somebody else.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I just find that fascinating.
You know, it's a fun side to it, and I mean, like, I got kids, as I was saying, and you know, my daughter, she's already singing quite well. It doesn't really end with a Trolls movie soundtrack in our house. It's kind of an ongoing thing, and I think my wife's kind of ready for her to take private lessons out of the house with her singing. But you know, it's something fun, and I think it's something that is fun for people of all ages. You know, like, there's not really an end to music being a large part of people's lives and stuff like that. And I mean, like, here in Alberta, I get quite a bit of requests and stuff for, you know, like, people's Facebook pages for their bands, and they send me demos and stuff like that of their music. And like, it's there's so much talent, you know, in this day and age, and they have so many resources that it's almost difficult for these, you know, up and coming young musicians to really make a name for themselves when there is so much competition, and there is so many people you know, using the same outlets like Facebook and Reverb Nation to kind of get their music out there. So.
Absolutely. And I think because it is so competitive, you do need to have a professional side to your business. You either have to do it yourself or have somebody that is professional that really knows how to run the business. You can't just be an artist and be talented and think you're going to make it. There has to be somebody behind you, or you have to do it yourself. But you have to compete. And to do that, you have to be professional, and you have to know how to market. You really have to be out there. You can't just hope that somebody's going to discover you, because most times, especially in this day and age with all the competition, it's not going to happen. So, and if you don't really struggle and work at it and be professional about it and treat it like a real business, somebody else will, and they're going to pass you up. I don't care how good you are at your, you know, as far as your talent goes. And so I do think that prioritizing and being able to manage your business and not treat it like a hobby, but really treat it like a business, as unfun as that sounds, I think in this day and age, it's a necessity.
Absolutely.
How old are your kids?
My son just turned 4.5 months.
Oh, wow. How fun.
Yes. So he's right at that nice little fun age of rolling around and drooling, which, you know, you can't get enough of that. And my daughter is, she's 4.5, and she's just started preschool. So that's where she's at right now, giving me a bit of peace and quiet while I do this. Otherwise, she'd be getting interviewed right now herself.
She's very, very spoken. Yeah, I've done that before with people, that how you could hear the kid in the background. It's fun.
Yeah.
So, okay, you said she sings. She hasn't gotten involved in any instrument, though, yet. Yet.
Well, no, that's not true. Last Christmas, I bought her a drum kit. Of course, it had to be
brave. You're brave.
But she definitely loves playing it, and you know, we tried sitting down with the guitars, and she's a little more aggressive, so I think she does fit the drums better right now at this point, because she can just kind of bang away at them and have fun. So. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Has your wife forgiven you for buying her drums yet?
No, she hasn't yet. And she made me set them up down in my music space and out of the main floor area of the house.
That's revenge.
So it's kind of like, well, if you don't want it in your area, then, you know, you shouldn't have bought them, kind of thing.
That is true revenge.
Yeah. No, she's very supportive, my wife, of music in the house. So, and I mean, her brother as well, he plays bass in the band. So she's always had music growing up as well, so she's very understanding and supportive of it, so.
Just wasn't quite ready for the drums, huh?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, what do you think has been your biggest obstacle in being successful as an artist?
The biggest obstacle, I think, in my earlier 20s, like I said, we had kind of been in a underground hardcore band. So I think the biggest obstacle would have been maybe creating an act that had been a little more radio friendly and a little bit more, you know, like mainstream, you know, open to like a bigger market, I guess. Mm-hmm. I could say, to be, you know, financially successful.
Huh.
It's very hard to be a musical group that can't pay their bills with things like airplay and stuff like that. You know, when you're focusing specifically on live performances and merchandise sales to carry yourself, it can be extremely difficult. And I think that was probably the biggest obstacle with being a performer and trying to get that success was, we limited ourselves for sure. And we were the only stations that were playing us were college, university stations. And it was, you know, it was very underground. And I think with the music that I'm playing now, I think the fact that there's, you know, not a lot of vulgarities and negative type of lyrics and stuff, it'll, you know, it'll open things up, and it's a lot funner and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Too. So I think the success rate has gone up quite a bit with just, you know, changing something like the attitude of the music.
Wow, interesting. That's really interesting. So what is your focus right now? Is it more recording or is it live performing?
Well, you know what, it's a little bit of both, and I think that's really important. Even though so much right now is happening on the internet, I don't think we can focus solely on our internet presence to carry us. And I think live performing and being in the studio and recording are, you know, equally as important as maintaining your internet presence. And so that's been kind of the vision right now, is juggling those two. And then I just, like I said, I keep my internet presence, which is, you know, important in this day and age, up in like my personal time. Like, so, I mean, right. I do feel that live performing and being in the studio are still just as important now as it was, you know, in the music industry in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s. I don't think that has changed at all through right. time. You still have to make that a big part of your music.
Right. Yeah. The reason I asked was because I have talked to artists who really believe that putting your music on the air and selling CDs is, and getting your music into social media and, you know, downloads and all, is not necessarily the way to make money. In fact, they will give away all that usually, because the way they make money is by doing the performances. They depend on performances. And so really, when they put their music out there on the internet, it's more to get people to go to the performances, and they depend on performances pretty much 100% for their income. And so I was just curious as to whether you guys look at it that way, and if your records or your recording projects are more for promotion of your upcoming performance, live performances, or if you do it differently.
Well, I guess, of course, we're kind of backwards here from people in a sense then, because I mean, on more of a global scale with the music that we're trying to create, you know, we're trying to get that out there and trying to make pennies, I guess, off of, you know, getting things like royalties from radio stations and
right,
stuff like that,
right.
And using that as kind of a focus, because
okay.
here in Canada, when we're playing a show, we can travel, you know, anywhere from 300 kilometers or, you know, we'd be your 220 miles to, you know, 1,000 miles to play one show.
Okay.
So you're going to eat up pretty much your entire budget that you've made from your performance and just fuel
right.
to get to the show.
I see that. Yeah. Yeah. That
yeah.
makes sense.
So it's quite spread out and everything like that for our performances. So what we try to do mainly is we're trying to get this more of a global market and get that that radio presence that we never had in the early 2000s, and get that now, and then as well, hopefully that'll, you know, like you said, that'll go into the live performance side, and then instead of playing to maybe a couple hundred people a night, maybe we can get it up to maybe a couple thousand. And
right, right. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll have to be sure. We're going to be playing your music today, and we'll be sure to put you on our website and give people the link so they can go find you and download your music. And,
excellent.
We'll be sure to do that. So we are going to take a break, but we'll be right back with Johnny and you right after this.
More It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh is coming right up. We'll be right back. Cynthia McIntosh, and it's a crazy world.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Cynthia. We're talking to Johnny Bandura from Alberta, Canada. And you were just listening to one of his songs called Whiskey. And Johnny, there's a story behind that.
Yeah, there is a story behind that. Like many things with us, we have a backstory to everything. It's just, it's a song of the famous Whiskey Go Go in LA. And it's a venue that we've always kind of wanted to play. And we've come very close a few times to making it to LA and playing, not specifically there, but that's kind of a dream that we have.
Right. Have you ever contacted them?
I haven't, but I have been in contact with another group that lives in LA that kind of invited us down to play with them. Mm. Now, it wasn't specific that would be where we were playing, but it is a club and a bar that they have been frequenting. So, you know, the odds of us playing there kind of grew, and I kind of got excited about that. So we've been fortunate enough to play in the States. We played some show in Seattle, actually. Mm-hmm. And that was quite the fiasco.
Yeah, Seattle has a pretty big music industry out there. It's very active.
Yes, and it was when we played there as well. We ended up staying at a kind of a vegan warehouse, and they let us kind of set up camp there, and we ended up waiting 7 days to play.
Oh wow!
One 40-minute set.
Oh wow! Just because it was so busy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is something, you know, we wouldn't be able to do in this day and age with, you know, jobs and family and responsibilities. But in our early 20s and we'd go on the road, it was kind of like, you know, anything could happen and we're just gonna let that happen. So
that's true commitment.
Yeah. So, but anyways, like I was saying, you know, we hope to make it down that way some point in time here, and maybe just do some shows around the LA area, and hopefully eventually we'll make it into the Whiskey to actually to play a set there. And
yeah. Well, you'll have to let me know if you come to the LA area, and we'll be sure to have you on the show so you can promote where you're going to be and let people know so they can come in and support you.
Yes, that'd be great.
Right. So where else do you want to play?
Well, I've always I've been a huge fan of the Ramones, for quite a while. And, you know, I like the New York scene and everything. And I look at clubs like CBGB's, and, I'm a big fan of the Handsome Dick Manitoba show on uh-huh. Sirius XM. And he kind of has his own bar there in New York that, still keeps that old school, you know, early punk rock sound going in there.
Right.
And it's got a lot of history and culture and stuff like the Whiskey does as well in New York.
Right.
So that's kind of another spot that I would like to, I definitely would like to play at.
Okay. So where have you played? Tell us about some of your history with your band. Or bands, actually. You've had more than one. But
we've played in venues and everything from some of the bigger spots in the punk scene in Canada. We've played like the Attic in Halifax, and Fufun in Montreal, which is a really big punk rock bar where you kind of had, you know, a lot of the California bands playing at, like Green Day and stuff played there in the 90s, and even Seattle's Nirvana played that stage. And then we've wow. played everything in, you know, like Winnipeg and Vancouver. We've played all like the punk venues there, but in our earlier years, we'd play venues like people's basements and, you know, garage parties and, you know, even backyard type things. And you know, some of those were almost, you know, funner and had bigger turnouts than when we started playing
wow.
big venues in Winnipeg and stuff like that. So But mainly, you know, we did play a lot of like those punk rock bars, and you know, a lot of them have kind of closed down since the days when we were touring around. But
really?
A lot of them have remained open and are still very iconic and legendary. So
and you still play it? You still play at some? You still play at some of them?
I do. Yeah. Like the very first really big show that we had in Edmonton was a place called The Pawn Shop, and it was right on White Avenue, which is a very famous trendy street that has a lot of clubs and places, and you know, like the university is right on there, so there's a lot of young people and stuff frequenting it, and you know, the price of real estate there went like pretty high, so the place actually closed down because they couldn't really survive off of you know, putting on shows on Friday and Saturday. So but just recently I heard that they've revived it and they will be opening doors again, so yeah, the first thing is to book a show there and kind of have a bit of a reunion.
Oh, fun. Really fun.
Like I think it's 17 years
ago that we wow. Yeah, you know, one of the things you and I were talking about during the break was how much the music industry has changed over the last 10 years and changes that you've seen.
Right. Yeah, there has been a lot of changes. And I mean, I just look at, like, even my own personal musical habits. I mean, things like the album and, you know, record stores. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but, like, our biggest music store in Canada here just is closing doors, HMV Music.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of like the end of an era. You know, it's kind of like the closing of Blockbuster Video and all those other large franchises that we don't need anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, just in that, I mean, it's, you know, record sales for artists are, you know, almost next to nothing. You know, like if you're selling something in the tens of thousands, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
Where, you know, before, you know, a couple million was kind of like, huh, you know, maybe, you know, better luck next time kind of thing. But, you know, like, I really see that, you know, the, those record labels, you know, can't, you know, function how they used to and are very limited down to people like, you know, an engineer and a president, and that's the record label now, you know, and they're just doing everything direct to, you know, digital files and things like that. So,
right. Well, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I know back in the day, the artists would get record labels. That was their number one priority. They felt like if they got a record label, they had arrived. If they didn't have a record label, they were still getting going. And record labels would basically sign contracts with the artists that kept them tied to that record label, and they would really... The record label made so much, the majority of the money. You know, they controlled the artist. So the artist really couldn't create their own image. They couldn't make their own decisions. They had to do what the record labels wanted them to do. And then they were also in debt to the record labels for so long. And now artists have the opportunity of being much, they have a lot more freedom to do what they really love to do and do it in the way that they want to do it. And really, in this day and age, people are producing music in their garages that the quality is incredible.
Yeah.
And it opens up so many doors. The competition is a lot tougher now, but there is so much more freedom. So I guess there's, you know, there's some positive aspects to it and some negative aspects to it. But I do think that it has really given a lot more freedom to the artists to do what they want to do and how they want to do it.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You're not waiting on that record label to, you know, fund your album. You can kind of go by a program and record your own album at home and get almost, you know, close to what the vision is in your head without needing any, you know, expensive engineers and mix engineers and people like that. You can work on it at home, and it's,
right,
you know, it's almost more beneficial, because a lot of times artists kind of don't always see eye to eye with the engineers and the,
very true.
The producers.
Very
so
true.
Like you're saying, yeah, you get that freedom that you wouldn't right. have if you were part of right. a label and they're expecting, you know, a certain image and a certain sound out of you. So
right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to give you a chance to tell us about up-and-coming projects and up-and-coming performances and what you've got going on so we can all follow your career.
Okay, well, what we're very close to finishing right now is an EP, and it's a 4-song mini record we're putting out, and it's going to be sent out to a lot of stations that have requested a hard copy opposed to an MP3 file
okay.
to play. So that's kind of the closest thing in our future is going to be having this EP out and having our songs available for people in a CD format,
right?
As well as we'll be having them on our Reverb Nation page for free download for anyone to listen to, as well as some upcoming performances, like I had said, in the Edmonton area, and hopefully we can venture down your way into the States at some point too.
That would be wonderful.
Either this year or early next year.
And, oh, okay.
And play some shows. But yeah, that's pretty much our focus right now, is to get this EP released and maybe mess around a little bit with some music video ideas that we've come up with that are fairly budget that we can kind of make happen and stuff.
Right.
And
okay.
Kind of
well,
get things rolling onto YouTube. So.
And for those of you that want to look up Johnny's information, you can go to our website. You can go to successwithmackintosh.com, and we will have his links. He will provide those to us. Also, do you want to just go ahead and tell us where we can find you as well? Do you have a website or anything we can go to download? Get more information.
Yeah, absolutely. We're if you go to Reverb Nation's main page, you can just type in Return of the Leech and up will come. And as well, if you want to like us on Facebook, we're just at Return of the Leech at facebook.com.
Okay, and that is Leech spelled L-E-E-C-H, just for those of you who wonder. But yes, you can also go to our website if you didn't get that, and look him up. We'll have his information on there. And so thank you very much, Johnny, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. A lot of interesting information. And congratulations. I really am impressed with your professionalism. I said that before, but I mean it. I really do.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And thank you for being on the show. We hope to have you on here again soon. Definitely let us know when you're going to be in the United States or when you have any new projects coming up, and we'll have you on the show to introduce everything, okay?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So I hope you all enjoyed the conversation that we had with Johnny. He's a very inspiring young man, is he not? I really enjoyed talking to him. So I hope that you got something out of the conversation also. I know as a coach, one of the things that I do run into very frequently, in fact, it's probably one of the biggest things I run into, figuring out how to fit everything in and finding the time to do everything that one needs to do to get a business career together and take care of family and themselves in the way that's appropriate. Because being an artist is not an 8-to-5 job. You wake up to it, you fall asleep to it, and you live it 24/7. And so it is very difficult to not let it affect other areas of your life. In fact, it's really pretty impossible. And so I do want to encourage you today, as you've listened to Johnny, to be sure that you do give time for everything, that you do surround yourself with people that are supportive. You notice that Johnny did talk a lot about his family life and how they are supportive of what he's doing, and that is very important, to surround yourself with people that understand your vision and they're supportive of it, because it's almost impossible to succeed otherwise. Also, he was very professional about what he did. He didn't make it a hobby. He really did make it a priority. He did work on his music and treat it like a business. And that is very important. So many artists love doing the music aspects of their business, but they hate the rest of it. And so they treat it more like a hobby. And then it doesn't succeed. You need to either handle all the business behind it, as Johnny did, or find someone who is very good at business that can handle that part of your business for you. But it does need to be handled. You need somebody that really knows what they're doing. If you know what you're doing, great, then you can do the business part of it. But otherwise, you really do need to have somebody in your life that will take care of the business aspects of it. We did a show a year ago with a band that had a manager that was amazing, and I actually would love to play that show again one of these days. But one of the things that really impressed me about that band was how well they worked together and worked with their manager. And the manager's job was to do everything except do the performances. He would set everything up so they just showed up and did their job. And they worked very, very well together. And if you are lucky enough to have a manager like that, great. But otherwise, you need to learn the business aspects of being an artist. And I was just really impressed with Johnny and how seriously he took his business and how professional he was with it. And I really do believe in the young man. I think he is going to have everything that he is working so hard for. And he definitely deserves it. So if you're one of those artists that does have a hard time with putting together your career and putting together your goals and trying to make everything fit in, just know that it is possible. And if you need help, of course, we're always here for you. You can contact us at 866-636-4696, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you and see how we can be part of your success. And in the meantime, go out there and do your best. Keep that vision alive, and you can do it. Know that we believe in you. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful week, and be sure to tune in next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we will see you then. God bless.